Hello and happy day. This is Dr. Marianne DiIorio welcoming you to another broadcast of Winning with the Word. Today, I want to talk especially with those of you who are having marriage problems. According to recent statistics, that's more than half of you listening. If you're included in the other half, this broadcast will help you also because every marriage can become better. I once heard someone say that the biggest room in the world is the room for self-improvement. So let's explore together some proven ways not only of healing a troubled marriage, but of improving on a good one. The first thing we need to understand is that the institution of marriage was created by God. It follows, therefore, that God knows all about marriage. He knows what makes a marriage work and what doesn't. So, since God is the author of marriage, doesn't it make sense to follow His plan for marital success? Of course it does. Well, what is God's plan for marital success? The book of Genesis gives us God's first revelation of His plan for marriage. Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. This passage immediately follows God's creation of woman. Then Adam said, "This creature is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall become united to and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." In this short passage lie several key principles for building a happy marriage. Let's take a look at each of them. Key principle number one, woman was taken out of man. Earlier in this same chapter of Genesis, in verses 21 and 22, we read the account of God's creation of Eve. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up the place with flesh. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he built up and made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. The fact that woman was taken out of man's side, not out of his head or his feet, is significant in God's plan for marriage. When God chose to create woman out of man's side, he indicated that woman was not to be inferior to man, but equal to him in value. Moreover, God intended for woman to walk side by side with man as a companion and a helper to him. Because woman was created equal to man in value, man was to respect her as he respects himself. Unfortunately, man has not always respected woman as his equal, because ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, there has been great misunderstanding regarding the equality of men and women. History bears witness in every century to the abuse of women, whether physical, emotional, or social. Even in our own day, there are cultures that consider women inferior to men. But this was not God's original plan for woman. A close study of Jesus reveals his utmost respect for women. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus treating women with great honor. Indeed, the very first person to whom Jesus appeared after his resurrection was a woman. In God's eyes, therefore, women are very precious, and so are men. When it comes to building a successful marriage, we need to understand that men and women are equal in value but different in function. It is the failure to understand this truth that has caused much trouble in marriage. Let's use a simple illustration. When you eat dinner, you usually use a knife and a fork. The knife's function is to cut your food. The fork's function is to carry the food to your mouth. Would you say that the knife has greater value than the fork, or that the fork has greater value than the knife? No, the knife and the fork are equal in value, but different in function. Both working together result in the successful eating of a meal. While I don't have enough time to go into detail, I do want to say that in God's plan for marriage, the husband's function is to be the head of the family, while the wife's function is to be its heart. It is the husband's function to lead, protect, and provide for his family, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. It is the wife's function to help her husband accomplish his function by creating a warm and loving home. Key principle number two. When a man marries, he is to leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. Not only must a man leave his parents physically, that is, by moving out and establishing his own home, but he must leave them emotionally and psychologically. Simply put, this means that a man must cut the apron strings. Practically speaking, this means that he must stop looking primarily to his mother or father for counsel in decision-making and start looking to his wife. He must stop comparing his wife's cooking with his mother's cooking or his wife's housekeeping abilities with his mother's. Likewise, a woman must stop looking to her parents as her primary source of earthly counsel and start looking instead to her husband. She must also stop comparing her husband to her father. Far too many marriages are destroyed because either the husband or the wife runs home to mama or daddy when the going gets tough. The worst part of it occurs if mama or daddy takes the son or daughter in when they should send them right back to their spouse. Of course, there are exceptions where violence and physical abuse are involved, but I'm talking about ordinary situations of marital conflict. This is not to say that a man or a woman should never seek the advice of their parents in making major decisions. After all, parents have already traveled a good piece of the road of life and can often alert us to potential pitfalls. But dependence on parents can pose a serious threat to the marriage relationship. A man and a woman should realize that once they are married, their primary allegiance is to each other and to their marriage, not to their parents. Key principle number 3, a man shall cleave to his wife and the two shall become one flesh. To cleave means to hold on to as for very life. When a man marries, he chooses to forsake all other women for the sake of the woman he has chosen to marry. This means that he is to focus his entire attention on building a relationship with this one woman who is his wife. The same applies to the woman. Her attention should be focused on her husband and on being a help to him. When a man cleaves to his wife, he adheres to her closely and loyally without wavering. He works at becoming one with her and at building the new entity called the marriage relationship. This new entity is to reflect the relationship between Jesus Christ and his church. Ultimately, this is God's will for marriage. Fulfilling that will, however, is not an easy process. It takes a daily dying to one's own fleshly desires in order to build a successful marriage. By fleshly desires, I mean those negative traits of the soul that seek to promote one's own good above the good of one's spouse. Traits like selfishness, anger, jealousy, self-pity, and pride, for example. So many marriages flounder and fail because spouses are unwilling to die to their own agendas. It is my personal opinion that the underlying cause of most divorces is selfishness. If we were to analyze most divorces, we would discover that one or both of the spouses was thinking more of his or her own needs than the needs of his or her spouse. Key principle number 4, both husband and wife are to submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. This principle is found in the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians, the 21st verse. In submitting to each other, a husband and wife defer to each other. In other words, the husband puts his wife's needs and desires above his own, and the wife puts her husband's needs and desires above her own. Key principle number 5, the wife is to submit to the headship of her husband as she would submit to God. The critical phrase here is, as she would submit to God. In other words, the wife is to submit to her husband in all things that do not violate God's law. If the husband requires his wife to do something that violates God's law, the wife is not obligated to submit to him. Indeed, for her to do so would be a sin. Submission has always been a very controversial issue, especially when it comes to marriage. Most women fear submission because they think it means being a doormat. In reality, however, submission is not slavery, it is power. When we submit to God's authority structure in marriage, we are actually tapping into God's power to bring about His will in our marriage. Not only is the wife to submit to her husband's authority in all matters that do not violate God's law, but the husband also is to submit to Jesus Christ. When the husband submits to Christ and the wife submits to her husband, then God's power can flow from Christ through the husband into the wife and through her into the marriage and the children. In the few moments we have left, I'd like to touch on some of the reasons that couples struggle in marriage. Here are some of the most common. Number 1, most people get married before they are ready to get married. Consequently, they bring to the marriage a lot of baggage in the form of insecurities, dependencies, selfishness, and a host of other things that prey on the marriage relationship. They come to marriage thinking that it will solve all of their problems. What they fail to realize is that marriage will not solve their problems. It will only expose them and often accentuate them. Number two, another reason couples struggle in marriage is a lack of wisdom in handling money. In an earlier podcast, we discussed this problem of debt and the havoc it can wreak on a marriage. Number three, a third reason that couples struggle in marriage is that they have unrealistic expectations of the marriage relationship. We all go into marriage with certain expectations, but when those expectations are unrealistic, disappointment ensues. There is only one person who can fulfill all of our expectations for marriage, and that is Jesus Christ. No marriage will ever be all that it can be without Him. In order for a marriage to be all that it can be, Jesus Christ must be at the center of that marriage. But in order for Jesus Christ to be at the center of the marriage, He must first be at the center of the lives of the husband and the wife. You see, the closer a husband and a wife grow toward God, the closer they will grow toward each other. Their mutual focus on God will automatically draw them to each other. When Jesus is Lord of the husband's life, the husband will have the wisdom he needs to love his wife as she should be loved and to fulfill his function as the head of the home. When Jesus is Lord of the wife's life, she will have the wisdom she needs to love her husband as he should be loved and to fulfill her function as the heart of the home. This is God's plan for marriage. If you need a miracle in your marriage, Jesus Christ is ready to help you. He is deeply concerned about your marriage, even more than you may be. Turn to Him today and let Him show you how to have a marriage made in heaven. If you have not yet invited Jesus Christ to come into your life, I encourage you to do so now. Just pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come to You just as I am. I admit that I am a sinner in need of Your mercy and grace. I believe that You are the Son of God, that You died for me, and that You rose again on the third day. I invite You now to come into my life. I receive You as my personal Savior and as the Lord of my life. Make of me and of my marriage all that You created them to be. Amen. If you prayed this prayer, you are now a born-again Christian. I invite you to write to me at drmarianne@marianndiorio.com. I would like to send you a little booklet that will help you get started in your Christian walk. Thank you for listening. This is Dr. Marianne Diorio, your virtual life coach, reminding you that God loves you just as you are and just where you are, and that He will help you to keep on winning with the Word.